Hey, welcome to the Happy Ramp Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends and partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Big R, we got the Commodore 64 fired up there in the Ashland studio. So took us a little while.
The hamsters are running on their wheels. All is well.
To get on the air, yeah, on Ashland Wi-Fi. But we're here. I'm just assuming you're home, which is probably wrong. Are you at home? Or are you somewhere far more glamorous?
I'm somewhere far more glamorous. Indeed, I'm not at home.
Where are you at, baby? You're traveling again. This is good. I knew there was an excitement and a crackle in your voice.
An excitement and a crackle?
There was the crackle.
I haven't felt real crackly today.
Dude, I'm in an airport lobby. I'm in a Hyatt place. Where are you, baby?
Yeah, I'm in Florida. At sort of a retreat center in Florida.
Dude, it was time for a little more pampering.
Oh, it was. Things have been rough.
Absolutely. Whereabouts in Florida?
Sunrise photos? I'm posted to Facebook or Instagram or anything. I feel like you're not really in Florida unless there's a beach shot somewhere.
Well, I was going to, but I'm trying to stay off social media. And then if I didn't want to announce, taking any time off social media because I knew I'd hear it from Pipe. So I'm just laying low, boys.
Baby, it's a delicate set of
it's a balance.
Isn't it?
It's a balance.
Real balance. Now, yeah. Is this part of the Substance South satellite campus that you're doing, 16 states away from Ashland? Or
yeah, we're trying to plant just a satellite in Florida so that I can still preach.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's good, man.
What matters is that wherever I'm at, I can still preach a message and people can still listen.
Dude, the elders are just trying to maximize your time.
Absolutely.
As long as you're down there, they might as well get a sermon out of you once in a
100%.
While. So
might as well get a sermon out of you. That's one of our slogans.
Can we
get a sermon out of this guy?
Can we get a sermon out of this freaking guy? Can we get something besides trips? Judas.
When I was in high school, my family earned a vacation by my dad wrangling he would preach at a church a couple Sundays, and we could have a house in Pensacola, Florida.
Ah.
And then a hurricane hit, which tells everybody what God thinks of that idea.
Or what God thinks of trading sermons for vacations. I think it's a fabulous idea.
Yeah, well, Pensacola didn't do too well in the evangelical landscape, 30 years ago either. Let's just be honest. But
are you anywhere close to one Frank McKinney in Deerfield Beach, Florida? Are you in the Deerfield area?
Baby, that's a great question, and I'm going to look that up. I don't know how close I am to Deerfield, but you better believe if I'm in the vicinity, I'm going to stop by.
Dude, you may be able to catch a leg of the book tour is all
Absolutely.
I'm saying.
Absolutely. Or I'll just be able to look at one of his beachfront mansions.
Absolutely.
Even more importantly.
So. Boys, it seems a little –
if you can get a tour of the beachfront treehouse writing shack.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. I'm looking up Deerfield right now as you continue on, Big T.
Yeah, so it does seem a little strange just to be back on the radio after such a big episode last week, man. I feel like that was a watershed moment for this program, and also just for the radio business in general. But boys,
for Frank McKinney, don't forget him. He would really be struggling without our help.
Now, if you're Frank McKinney, just a little publishing question, Piper: are you sending the clip of that? Are you sending that link to your publicist, in the way that a lot of new authors do? Hey, look at all the publicity I'm generating, even though it was an hour of us just destroying Frank McKinney. Are you still sending it in?
There's a couple possible answers to this. If he has a sense of humor, yes, yeah. Absolutely. If he doesn't have a sense of humor, yes, absolutely, as a complaint.
Yeah, that's right.
And if he's completely clueless and he just thinks all publicity is good publicity, then yes, absolutely. So I think there's no way that doesn't make it to his publicist eventually.
Dude, and I think it's one or the other. I think judging by that book cover, he either has absolutely no sense of humor, which is likely, or he has the most amazing sense of humor in the world.
Yeah, he trolled us is what that means.
Exactly. Let me see if I can get these idiots to talk about my book for an hour. But anyway, we did talk about his book for an hour, but boys, we have other things to talk about as per usual on this program because radio waits for no one. We have a special episode on tap, boys, and I'm excited about it. We have the food and wellness episode. So all three of our topics today are going to be food and wellness related, in that we are nothing if not men who are deeply devoted to that, deeply devoted to health and what we put into our bodies. these Ferraris, these radio Ferraris don't run on garbage. So in that vein, we're going to get right into this, boys. And I want to talk about something. I want to talk about a reality in my life and see if there's any overlap in your lives. But one thing I've noticed lately is that dudes in my, like, specifically in my church, but these are friends of mine. These are just, like, friends of mine who are around my age. Sort of a default thing to talk about if we don't have like a natural thing to talk about at some sort of gathering is what diet everyone's on. So like, dude, are you in ketosis? Are you doing a whole 30? Or are you like, you know, cutting out carbs? Or like, this is, are you intermittent fasting? You know, this is the nature of every conversation with dudes my age. And I just want to be clear, like, I hate it so much because it's so boring. And all the while I'm listening
and
to
no
this
one
going,
gives a crap. That's no, no like, one gives literally a crap. Or figuratively. Nobody's eating, nobody's crapping, nobody's giving craps. Like there's none of that.
Oh, yeah. And I all the while I'm just like, we used to be real men. You know, like at some point we used to talk about things that were interesting. We used to do interesting things. And now like the most interesting thing we're doing is like not eating till 2 o'clock. And then at that point we're eating clean. And I'm just like, this is the saddest thing ever. So I want to just open it up with that and see if, is that something you guys have noticed specifically about men? Because I remember growing up in the 80s, like my mom would talk about her diets a lot, like with her friends, and they would all like go to Wendy's for a baked potato. because back then baked potatoes were great, and now baked potatoes are evil. You know, carbs are the worst and fat is the best. So like the pendulum has just swung a few times. But do you guys notice like dudes kind of in your friend genre talking about this stuff all the time?
Yes. I also like the point you just made. It makes me so sad for the it's like farewell to comfort food, because now it's guilt food. And
yeah,
there, we can't be comforted by the things that we once were.
Yeah, no, I know, man. You can't have like some bread. You can't have a carb. And when I say you can't, I mean, of course you can do whatever you want because you're a grown man and you should, but nevertheless, Big R, what do you see in this space?
Oh yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, it's an epidemic. I mean, if you came to substance, I mean, I think we even have sections in our cafe that are like Whole 30 sections, because like literally the whole church is on Whole 30, or they're
it's just an empty shelf that people can stare at longingly.
Yeah, our cafe is an empty shelf. I love it.
No, it's just a bunch of vegetables, grapes, and actually baked potatoes are the one of the carby things you can have on Whole 30, and like eggs, right? So there it is.
Judas H. Priest, you have a cafe in your church? How big is your church now? Like, because when I was there, you know,
You were there the first Sunday 5 years ago, Big.
Yeah, there were like a dozen people. And right. Now you have like a mega church with a cafe.
It's not mega, but it's grown a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. So who eats in the cafe? Like, what's the context for this? I want to just make a mental.
The cafe is this, man. So we started this thing. You were there the first week, Big T. We're like, after the service, we all eat together. That's what we do. We all hang out and we eat.
Maybe I think I peaced out before.
Or given the current dietary situation, you all get together and don't eat.
We all get together and don't eat.
No, we supply food for everybody that does eat or doesn't eat. So for the people that don't eat, we have a lot of not food. And
that's a good
the,
way to be inclusive there.
Absolutely. Like you can go over here where there is no food and not eat, or you can go over here where there is food and eat. So, yeah. Dude, we're keeping everybody together, right?
Baby, you're so inclusive. I love
so
that.
So inclusive, absolutely.
No one's excluded.
No one's excluded, even the people that don't eat, which is usually me. Right. So that's so I'm just hanging out with all the people that are eating, wishing that I was eating, because they're eating a bunch of delicious food that I've sworn off because I want to look like how they do in their late 20s.
But boy, dude, that box of raisins.
I know.
I want to take a minute, man, and just honor our dads, because I don't know about both of your dads, but my dad spent 0 minutes ever talking about his diet. And it just makes me love him more for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, my dad never went on a diet one day in his life.
Absolutely. Yeah, same.
It wouldn't have even been like a thing.
Dude, it wasn't even a glimmer in his eye, you know? Like, so how did, okay, so it's been like you know, 30 years roughly since we were little kids, like living at home with our dads, like what changed in the last couple of decades to get from dad point A, where like if you're a dad, you're just like an awesome guy living your life, doing kind of whatever you want, to this, man, which just makes me so depressed. Like, how did we get here?
I just don't think it was just it was such a different mentality. Like, it wasn't like it was this thing where it's like, hey, you know what, man? I'm like, I'm in my mid 30s. I have like 3 kids now. It's like the one comfort I have now that I've kind of had some financial stability is I'm going to eat whatever I want. Like, that's
right. I'm going to have a nice meal.
That's the one luxury that I possess. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. So my old man, my pops, this is what he would do occasionally, because sometimes dad would look a little heavier, and then other times, he's never a heavy guy, but sometimes he would just look a little leaner, and it'd be like, "Pops, what are you doing?" He goes, "I just don't have fries sometimes with my burgers for lunch."
Yeah. There you go.
And it wasn't to lose weight. It's just because he wasn't in the mood for fries. But like, worked for him. He was having less fried food for a couple of months, and he would drop like 8 pounds.
Nice.
Dude, that's what
Which, when you're eating a burger and fries for like a meal and a half a day, that's a lot of fries you're not eating.
Totally. Yeah, it's a lot.
It really is, man. That's a big
less calories you'd be consuming. Yeah, absolutely.
Dude,
And dude, the old man was old school, so he didn't believe in breakfast. Breakfast was like for girls. Like, he didn't eat breakfast. He just drank black coffee.
Dude, he drinks black coffee. He's out the door, and then around noon, man, we're getting that burger and fries.
But then occasionally no fries. So I mean, seriously. Yeah. So this dude would come rolling into the house about 6 p.m. only having consumed one burger that entire day. So he had like 800 calories so far that day.
Dude, he was intermittent fasting. Is what he was doing.
I mean, kind of, but he wasn't trying to do that.
And also, he wasn't talking about it for like an hour to everyone he knew.
I mean, to even entertain a conversation about what he ate or didn't eat would have been beyond reason for him.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, who gives a? I mean, who cares? You know.
Yeah, at the end of the day, he was a man. Big T is what.
Yeah, at the end of the day, he was a real man, as opposed to the hollowed out husks of men walking around. You know, currently.
Yeah, like us, correct.
Yes. Yeah, like us. Judas, how did we get here? Piper, I feel like we need to move on because we've got...
Because you're about to swear on the podcast for the first time ever?
I'm about to swear on the podcast. I'm concerned about the state of things. You sent a very provocative screenshot to Ronald and myself last night in preparation for the show. It was a little show prep, a little pre-production meeting. The headline of this thing, I'm going to read the headline and the subtitle, and then I want you to unpack this for us a little bit. It's called How Millennials Killed Mayonnaise. The inexorable rise of identity condiments has led to hard times for the most American of foodstuffs, and that's a shame. So I want you to talk about how millennials killed mayonnaise, but also this phrase identity condiments, which also is a thing that I think makes me want to die. tell us about that, Piper.
So first, couple things. A listener sent this to me we have listeners who are awesome. They know the pulse of this podcast. She saw this and said that's a thing that they would like, and she was absolutely spot on. So thank you, listener. Second of all, I technically am a millennial. I was born in 1983. That makes me 35 years old, which I know everybody thinks of millennials as like little kids who are making poor decisions and killing mayonnaise and things like that. But technically I am one. So I'm going to speak as part of the millennial generation on behalf of every millennial, because that's how generations work. One person can speak for the entirety of us all. So, identity condiments. I think this ties back a little bit to the gendered food thing, you know, where we're attaching identity to consumable items. And, you know, we discussed avocados, and I determined that they were transgender, and there was an identity crisis there. So I think all of this ties together. I'm not really sure exactly how, but I think there is identity confusion attached to condiments. I think people are putting avocados on burgers as if they are a condiment. That's an identity crisis. So I'm not exactly sure how this links to the killing of mayonnaise. As much as millennials just like to try weird, dumb stuff with their food. They would rather try something that's disgusting and new than something that's tried, true, and delicious, like mayonnaise.
Dude, so I feel like a millennial thing, and maybe you can speak to this, Big R, is taking something sort of like banal that like you just wouldn't have thought about. Like your dad never thought about condiments as persona things. But I think a millennial thing is to say, you know, I put Chipotle mayo on my burger and I'm therefore this kind of person. You know what I mean? Because everything gets photo.
It's like saying instead of saying I like mayonnaise, it's like saying I'm a mayonnaise person.
Yeah. And it's because everything gets photographed and curated and rendered online such that like you don't just eat a burger in a vacuum anymore. Like Big R's dad probably like drove through some place, drove the sack of like greasy food to his office on like the bench seat of his truck and like ate it in solitude. But you know, nowadays every meal is an event. Every meal is an excuse to like curate your image a little bit more. So maybe identity condiments is not all that far off. What do you think, Big R?
Yeah, no, totally. I actually think it's hilarious because it's like anything that you can identify with. You know, any anything that can become a part of like your persona. It's like you take that, you grab it, and you run with it. And but I want to go back to what Pipe just said a second ago, which is number one, man. What cracks me up about millennials is that they're the only generation that refers to themselves as millennials. Like Big T, me and you didn't go around saying, well, you know, as a Gen Xer,
Hey, Ted, whoa, time out. Millennials may call ourselves millennials, but it was started because old people started yelling at us for being millennials. This was not something that we self-identified as. Now, we've claimed it.
Totally disagree, Pipe. What's that? Totally disagree.
Oh, do you know, old Gen Xer?
I mean, as a Gen Xer, I totally disagree.
Oh, wait, this is a shocker. A Gen Xer thinks somebody's wrong about their opinion and disagrees? I'm stunned. Stunned, I say.
I mean, as a Gen Xer, which is what I identify with, like every time I think about anything, it goes through the lens of being a Gen Xer. Yes, that would be my opinion of that. Yeah.
Wow.
But Pipe, I don't really think you're a millennial, man. I think you're too old to be a millennial.
Too old, like in spirit or like
old in age.
I'm definitely a cranky old man, but that's a separate issue altogether.
No, I think you're the youngest age available left to be a Gen Xer.
Well, there have actually been, you know, people who are more sociologically inclined and not just people who like to talk about identity condiments in terms of generations. They actually break out millennials born between 80 and like 88. And because it's the people who remember life before the internet, basically.
Yeah.
You know, so we're sort of the older part of the generation, but not quite Gen X. But so we kind of have a foot in both worlds.
Yeah, I think it's true, but for my own sanity and because I actually like you, I'm going to put you in the – I'm going to tag you on the back end of the Gen Xers.
And because I think identity condiments are ridiculous.
Because yeah. I like you, I'm going to tell you exactly what you are.
Pipe, I just feel there, like there you're is. More – I just feel like, you know, as a Gen Xer, I feel like you're more Gen X than millennial, you know?
I actually have an alternate theory on the three of us vis-a-vis our ages. So – even though Big R is quantifiably like the oldest man on the podcast, I feel like he's actually the youngest in terms of like how he views himself. In the Piper, I think you and I have like given ourselves fully to like old manness. And, you know, Ron is like eating 4 calories a day. He's always on a diet. He's a hipster. He's fashionable.
Yeah, like, I'm fighting my age constantly.
He travels all the time. I mean, you know, like he's probably the most active on you know, Instagram. I think Ron really is the millennial of the group.
Would you guys pray for me?
You can get more travel opportunities?
I actually need help. Here's what Big M said to me the other day. You guys ready for this? She goes, do you always have to talk about your age? I mean, can we have one conversation without you like literally just bemoaning your age? And I said, no. And I go, even you saying that now, it just reminds me of how I'm getting older. You know, time is slipping through my grasp.
Subtext, you always have to talk about yourself.
Exactly.
You know? Like, yeah, that's what she was really saying.
Yeah.
That's also a very subtle way of saying, will you stop reminding her of her age? Because every time you talk about your, every time you talk about your age being married to you, it reminds her that she's attached to this very old man.
It's true.
So there's a bit of a latent insult there.
Except Big M has this. Big M has this. She's old school though. Like, this is what Big M said. Parents, Big T, where she's like, yeah, I've never thought about my age. I don't care. I love my birthdays. I love getting older. She's on that tip.
She's got to figure it out, man.
She does. She's more like you, gents. She's more like you guys.
Baby, let me pose this question to you then. How are you going to like what is accepting aging going to look like for you? And like, are Piper and I going to notice based on like your appearance?
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You can't be like, I mean the shelf life on being like the skinny jean, always on a diet guy. I mean, you've got less than 10 years of that left. I got to think you probably got less than 5 years of that.
I mean, not if you look at Paul Tripp, but I think the big idea is that I think when I accept my age, it's going to be so dramatic. You guys are literally going to have a conversation on your own and say, I think Ronnie just got saved. It's going to be something like that. It's going
to
be
He's
so
gonna
dramatic.
Go from skinny jeans to like house coats and slippers. And
that's going
to
be awesome.
And like a folded up newspaper under his arm and
a
reheated cup of Folgers.
Like,
that's going to be Ronnie.
Like, what are you waiting for? Like, that sounds amazing. I would do that tomorrow.
You know, I'm just trying to get all the millennials to come through the doors on Sunday, Big T. That's why I can't.
Baby, are you afraid that if you.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
So, yeah. So you're afraid that if you like unhipster yourself and you embrace like the actual old man that you are, that you're going to lose like all those little, you know, flannel wearing kind of millennial hipsters walking around A-Town, like they're not going to want to come to Substance and eat at the snack bar anymore. Are you afraid?
It's not that. I mean, yeah. I appreciate the snack bar illusion, but I don't know what else to do.
You do call it the snack bar though. Snack bar is like an old man thing to call.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a cafe.
It's a cafe. Yeah. You know, and it literally is. But I mean, I don't know what else to do. Like, I don't know how else to look or how else to be. Like, I don't know what. And I sound like, you know, as a Gen Xer, you know,
Dude, that's
I'm just
the most Gen X thing to say.
I'm just being myself.
I'm just being myself. Just being myself. Don't put me in a box.
Yeah, don't put me in a box.
And because we can't go an episode without bringing up the Enneagram, as a four, very clearly need to be a standout. Like, you have
to
differentiate yourself from all the other. Aging pastoral gentleman.
Boy, this is getting brutal, man. Your descriptors are getting brutal, boys.
Dude, but in a sense, though,
snack shop aging.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Pipe. I feel like all aging pastoral, like affluent white dudes, have regressed to the mean of like they all look like Ron now. You know what I mean? Like they're all trying to.
Oh, don't say that. As a four, he now has to go find an entirely new look.
Dude, no, but I'm encouraging him to find a new look because all these Judas, I just almost swore again, but like all these guys, like they all look like him now. You know what I mean?
Dude, there's only so many looks. What am I supposed to do? I mean, it's like I go to the same stores as everybody. Like, what am I supposed to get?
Well, but like 15 years ago, they all looked like Piper's dad. You know what I mean? They're all in like a sport coat and a pair of slacks or whatever. And now they're all in like a pair of Red Wing boots and
yeah, but baby, here's the diff, man. The diff is that 20 years ago, you know, I was looking like that. You know what I mean? So I feel like this whole pastoral scene has just caught up to that. So there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So in order to be unique, though, you're gonna have to like you're gonna have to shift gears again.
It's true. I do.
Yeah, I
have to shift. I got to wear khakis and like a polo. I mean, there's really
you know,
no.
I'm not saying khakis and polo. There could be a third way. I'm just saying like it has to be something.
Dude,
because
the third way.
Like,
I love
that. Yeah, it's a third way. That's a Paul Tripp.
The third way. Oh, that's a total Paul. That's probably a Paul Tripp book being written right now.
I mean, just like your cafe is a third place, or snack bar, whatever we're calling this.
Dude, what does a cafe look like? Is there an employee there? Is there like a girl with a like a leather apron on, like making wraps, like artisanal wraps? Like,
hey, guys, don't laugh. But yeah, we do. We have a team that works behind the counter, and we also have a pour over station where we have two guys that actually do wear leather aprons, and I'm not joking.
Oh my gosh, dude. I want pictures. Like, I really want to see.
I'll send you pictures next week for sure.
Now, do people, talk here, like,
Everything you're dreaming of, the answer is yes.
No. I'm going in a different direction.
Which makes me so happy.
Do they, like, kind of see the humor in what they're doing? I.e., like, do they get the joke and all of it? And they're
absolutely.
We know we're being sort of poncy and affected, but we just like doing this.
I mean, you guys know Big R. I mean, I make a joke out of all these things. So it's just fun. Like, it's none of it's serious. Yeah. None of it is serious. Yeah. It's all fun. Yeah. Like, so I remember the guy that brought in the leather aprons, and we were cracking up about it for like 20 minutes. And then the guys put them on, and I'm like, dude, that's all. Like, we love it. Roll.
Dude, do you think with these people, and you speak to this, Piper, do you think it's almost like it's Halloween every day? You know what? Like, you get to play a little dress up, you know, like every Sunday you get to be like, you know, the artisanal rap maker.
It's a little bit like the Frank McKinney publicist question.
Yeah.
Are they completely self-aware in the sense of like, this is utterly ironic, and yes, I'm dressing in a ridiculous manner, doing ridiculous things? Or are they completely unself-aware and they've actually owned their condiments as their identity? Like when they say, I'm a Chipotle ketchup person, they really mean like, I am a Chipotle ketchup person.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that speaks
volumes about who I am. Yeah.
Yeah. Like that sums me up. I'm like a 4-wing, 5 Chipotle ketchup person. Back off of my, you know, pour over.
Exactly. Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this. Like, and I know I got to get back on track, man. I'm just going all over the place. And I've actually got to land the plane in like 10 minutes. But have you guys ever used an item of food to like build your own persona? Because as we've been talking, I've been trying to think, like, have I done this? Like, I've probably done this. Have you guys?
I mean, not since I was like 8 years old when I used to like
a joke.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like
I
make fun of people periodically for their coffee choices, but I don't think any less of them for their coffee choices. It's just an excuse to make jokes at people, you know, for
sure.
Putting too much milk, you know, cream and sugar in there or whatever. But I'm trying to think, same with like diet soft drinks. I think diet soft drinks are ridiculous, but I don't think less of people for drinking them. But I don't think I've ever sort of owned a diet or food as like, this is my identity. Even in the antithesis to the dieters, you know, like I'm not on the other side going like, I'm a red meat and potatoes guy. Cause
I think I am almost like, I hate the dieting talk so much. And I also hate that like the potato is gone. You know what I mean? Like in history class you talked about the potato famine of like Ireland or whatever. Like, I think we're in a potato famine, but it's hipsters that have caused it. You know what I mean?
So what you're saying is that millennials have killed Ireland.
I think Ireland and potatoes.
Maybe you gotta go Whole 30 and you can have all the potatoes you can eat, man.
Really?
All.
So it's like being a woman in the 80s. You go to Wendy's and get your dry baked potatoes.
It totally is, man. It totally is. I mean, I've lost like 15 pounds on potatoes the last year.
You just can't put anything on it.
You can only put.
What can you put on it?
You can only put. Yeah, you can only put. You just can't put sugary stuff on it. You could put like chicken on it. You could put. Mm. You know, you could put salsa on it. Yeah, it's legit.
Can you eat like on the Whole 30? Can you eat chili with like beans and beef and stuff like that?
Just no beans.
What?
Dude, that's so kooky.
Because beans are inflammatory. They're an inflammatory food. They're not bad.
You know what's inflammatory? People on the Whole 30 are inflammatory. That's what's inflammatory.
Dude, you asked. I didn't invent it, man. You asked, man. You can eat beans, but they're inflammatory. And the whole thing is you're trying not to eat foods that sort of bloat you out. That's the deal. Mm. Yeah. But you can eat them. It's not, you can eat anything in moderation.
So that when you walk down that street in A-Town, baby, when you walk down Main Street, the people are going, there goes Ronnie Martin, all 24 years of him, you know? he's got his whole life ahead of him, this guy.
Gets younger every year. It's amazing.
Gets younger every year.
He's fresh. He's full of life.
Gets grayer, but somehow younger every year.
The whole world ahead of him because he's not inflamed.
Nothing inflammatory, right? It's keep dropping pant sizes, you know, because I'm not inflamed.
Because you're like a woman in the 1980s. I love that. Can we get – I know we have artists that listen to the program, and I don't want to tax them even more. But and maybe this is probably over the line. But if we could get Ronnie in like a 1980s woman pantsuit, that would be
Wow. Why don't you go for the full leotard?
You could also just drop his face on a photo of Hillary Clinton, and that would solve that problem.
A leotard, some leg warmers.
Why don't you just put me in a leotard in a snack shop somewhere, and you can just be exactly how you describe me today, you know?
Like
just
that scene from Flashdance where, like, the water pours over that woman who's wearing, like, that off-the-shoulder, like, sweatshirt and a leotard.
Which has actually come back and is all cool again, by the way.
That's actually what your church looks like.
I'm looking at my wife right now, and Big M literally is wearing that outfit. I mean, essentially.
Jesus priest.
Baby, what's up? I'm looking at you right now with the thing off the shoulder and the No, you look money. You look good. But we're talking about you right now.
Does your church look like that factory in that scene, though, and that there's, like, sparks flying and, like, steam and all that? Or is that, like, a little too over the top?
Only during worship.
Is there a functioning foundry, like, running in your church?
Yeah, only after worship, and then only during worship does it look like that factory scene while the music's playing and everybody's, like, flash dancing.
Dude, it looks like the steel mill in, like, All the Right Moves.
If you guys would just come out on a Sunday, you would just experience the glory, man. You really would, I'm telling you.
Oh, man.
As would all of our listeners, if they just want to come out to A-Town for the weekend.
Five, we got, like, 2 minutes left. I want you to talk about a link that you sent, a URL called bodforgod.org.
Yes.
Start losing, start living. Bod for God. Tell us about what is Bod for God? Let's just start there.
Well, wow. just to be clear, it's Bod for the digit for God .org. So this is a nonprofit.
Absolutely. Not
to help. Yeah. Well, based on the website, it looks a lot like an early 2000s or late 90s church website with an embedded YouTube video. They figured out how to drop in an iframe. And it's about losing weight. So let me just read some testimonials.
Okay.
This is from an unnamed woman who lost 46 pounds. That's no joke. Ronnie has lost 46 pounds in the last 2 weeks, but still impressive for her.
Which brings Ronnie down to, like, 46 pounds.
Yeah, negative 8 pounds, yeah. Ronnie
Martin. And I'm eating a potato right now as we speak. So go on.
She says, and I quote, "I'd eat my oatmeal, drink my water, do my Bible study, and pray for the group. And the weight just came off." So
basically, I'm living like a resident in, like, a medieval prison, and that's how the weight came
off. I ate gruel and water and prayed for my group of fellow inmates. I mean, weight losers, and the weight fell off.
I scratched the days into the wall with a rock, and the weight came right off.
It just came.
Also, thanks to the listener who sent this link to us. That was genius. Let's see. It was started by a pastor who served as a senior pastor in Virginia. He started a weight loss campaign in his church and community after he lost over 100 pounds.
They did it in the New Testament, though. So tip of the cap to him. I mean,
yeah, the New Testament really says they came together breaking bread and, you know, worshiping, and
these people actually
came together to, like, stare at oatmeal and not do anything.
They came together breaking bread and talking about how horrible carbs are. I mean, you know, that's really is if that's not the essence of the New Testament church, I don't know what is.
The media has labeled him the anti-fat pastor. I don't know. That sounds very aggressive to me.
It sounds clunky. I feel like the media could have done better as a unit.
The AFP?
Clunky is what he was before he lost 100 pounds.
Oh, there it is. There it is. That was too easy, Piper.
Pastor Clunk. you set that one up nicely.
I did.
Yeah, so I'd just say, listeners, go to bodforgod.org. Check it out. It's the best thing about it is the design. It is wedged into the middle of the page. All the photos are a little bit elongated, which makes the before photos a little bit less impressive and the after photos real impressive. So it's just a great design from 2001.
Yes, dude. Look at that. It almost looks like my website. You know what I mean?
Oh, this slogan, "Nothing tastes so good as a bod for God feels."
Oh, wow. Nice.
Wow.
I think that's really Ronnie's motto in life. He just hadn't sort of made it so poetic just yet.
Well, Piper, as a Gen Xer,
I just want to challenge Ron with one more thing before we go. Like, is his bod really for God or is it for him? I mean, all this weight loss that he's seeing, and when he stands in front of the mirror in the morning and kind of turns turns to the side a little bit and just, you know, gives a little flex. I mean, is that really for God's glory? Is that for
your baby? I'm gonna, can you give me some time to think and pray through that?
I'll repent
next week on the broadcast.
Don't waste your diet, Ronnie.
Oh my gosh, now we're using quotes from our dads.
If Ted was going to use a quote from his dad, it'd be like, this burger's good. And that would actually be a better quote because it would put a smile on everybody's face.
Absolutely. But hey, why put a smile on your face when you could be miserable and talk about your diet all the time?
But skinny.
Skinny.
I have a question to close this thing out. Is anybody happier?
Because of diets,
I feel like everybody is more miserable the healthier they're trying to be. Eat some fat and smile, people.
Nobody looks different. It looks like you took one of those like air mattress things for camping, like one of those vacuums, and just sucked away like 25% of these dudes. They just look hollow. You know what I mean? They look sunken.
And also, I'm going to live longer in this miserable state of eating dried peas. Like, what?
Yeah.
What's the point?
Because you feel so great, man. Hollow is happiness.
Hollow is happiness.
Feels so good, man.
That should be the slogan.
Hollow is happiness, man. I mean, dude, you have those days when you're eating all the stuff and the pie, and it's good going down. But once it gets there, it's just tragedy, is what it is. Mm. But it's good going down.
Yeah. Hollow is happiness.
Hollow is happiness.
You may be winning me over. You're really.
You're really
turning the screws here, Big R. Big T just
literally went Whole30 as I said that.
You've given me a lot to think about.
Transformed.
That's funny because you said pie, and all I was thinking about was the chocolate cream pie I had two nights ago and really wishing I had more. I was not thinking about the Whole30.
I had coconut cream pie the last two nights, and I literally feel like I have to do something, like life is turning into a tragedy that I don't want to like see lived out. That's where I'm at. I'm not hollow. I'm not happy.
Dude, just go to Flashdance Church and go to the cafe and like watch the sparks and the steam and don't eat anything.
I don't know. I found out Deerfield's 130 miles away, so maybe that's...
Well, there you go. There's the site of your next church plant. So we got it.
If you were really committed, you would bike that in a morning and then you would Instagram rise and grind or something like that.
Well, I didn't say we had to get exercise.
Hashtag hollow is happy.
Hollow is
happy. Oh, boys, I got to go. I got to go to a meeting. So,
all right.
That's a whole different kind of hollowness.
That's a whole different kind of hollow. That's right. And a whole different kind of unhappiness.
A whole different kind of 30.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, 30 minutes, I think not. You know, no meeting in history has been 30 minutes.
Baby, shut this thing down for the love of good things.
Yeah, baby, are you tired of being implicated on this program?
I just want to go have some snap peas. I'm hungry.
Yeah, have your snap peas. You know what? You could sprinkle those on a dry potato and then you've got a nice meal.
I might.
So, yeah,
real nice
meal. I'm just
it's a lovely meal.
Far be it for me to make suggestions, but
it's a you lovely can do meal.
That. Boys, we have done what we always do on this program in that we have wandered to and fro throughout this depressing topic. And until next time, Rachel DeHeld Evans.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Do you ever hear sayings make their way through the culture and the church that seem nice in theory, but are actually theologically problematic? My name is Shara Donahue, and I'm the host of The Bible Never Said That, a podcast where we examine these popular sayings under the lens of biblical truth. We cover sayings like, God won't give you more than you can handle, time heals all wounds, and follow your heart. We also spend time exploring how people use Bible verses out of context. If you want to grow in discernment and truth, join us and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.